Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Dawson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
A very good morning to you, Christopher. I am enchanted by your visage. I'm enchanted by your new hair. Is this new hair or don't care? Or is this a recent haircut that's just kind of grown out a little bit? Chris, I have to say, you are looking very spunky at the moment.
You look good. People have been coming up to me and being like, you've lost weight. And I'm like, have I? I've not done anything. I don't know if that's like the haircut.
Much a haircut can kind of change the shape of one's face. It's good stuff.
Indeed. I'm trying to get fit. I've got like some big, silly, fitnessy stuff coming up, videos and whatnot. And I don't think I can talk about that now. Don't know. But anyway, you'll find out soon enough. Ooh. Doing a big, silly thing. And there's lots of cycling. But anyway.
Shaving. Lots of haircuts. Having constant haircuts instead of working out.
I wanted a haircut for that. You've been
quite busy recently, just bashing out video after video, haven't you? Your post kind of Christmas. You're in a post Christmas crush at the moment. You're in the middle of just editing late at night pretty constantly.
Pretty much. And like, it's one of those annoying things where if you don't release a video for a while, I think I kind of worry that, the viewers might assume that I'm just sort of sitting in a room on a beanbag, playing Ghost of Tsushima, which I have done quite a lot in February. But I have also been working and making videos. And I think it should be out now, the How Expensive Is It to Travel Japan video, which is like 30 minutes long, and it took 2 weeks to make. And if you haven't watched it, go and check it out. But things are ramping up, though. We've got a lot of videos out in March. I'm planning a wacky weekend trip with Connor. Coming up, I'm filming in a few days. I've got a trip to Hiroshima, got a thing with Natsuki. Yeah, man, things really pick up in March. February is like depression the month, and March is like the flowers are in bloom, and so am I. And I feel revived, refreshed, and ready to kick some ass. Not literally, I'm not that violent, but it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited. Chris, did you read about the big Nintendo Yuzu emulator issue?
That's very specific. No, I did not. What is the Nintendo Switch emulator?
Big news thing in Nintendo emulation. Obviously, Nintendo, big Japanese company, they're spending a lot of time just absolutely smashing shit out of emulators left, right, and centre. The 3DS and the DS was a hugely emulated and pirated sort of system. So Nintendo have always got a stick in their bum about anybody, you know, flirting with any kind of emulation or any kind of reproduction of their intellectual property. And they've this week put the old hammer on a emulator called Yuzu, who put their emulator behind a paywall on Patreon a little while ago. And it looks like they have successfully halted the development of an emulator for the first time, I think, in a long time. Which may spell a real end to legal emulation around the world. It's hard to overstate how destructive this move might be. And once again,
really?
Nintendo protecting their IP is going to leave a lot of people rather unhappy.
That's a shame. What is it? Nintendo's ruthless, aren't they? I mean, there was a time where play their video games or, you know, publicly.
Well, in Japan, there's no such thing as fair use. There's no such thing as, you're transforming things. So you can find yourself at the end of a very large legal writ from Nintendo of America, of Japan, of Europe. And so, yeah, they're little sods. They really are.
Not as friendly as Mario might assume. I actually drove past Nintendo's headquarters last week. It is the most depressing looking building. It's just this big blocky office building. And it looks really boring and there. But what goes on inside is magic. Pure magic.
Magic.
Even if they are screwing lots of people over. But no, I like Nintendo. I think they're cool. And I'm anxiously awaiting the Switch 2, which, why isn't it out yet? I can't believe the Switch has been out for like, how long now? 8-9 years or something?
Cracking on, yeah. It's really sort of sneaked up on everyone, I think. I feel like the Switch came out yesterday and the Wii U the day before that and the Wii before that. Like, it seemed like the things are accelerating. And, you know, like, video game systems are what happens when you're busy doing other things, as John Lennon said.
I'm keen to get my hand on one. But we shall see what they do next. We've got a story this week from Aaron, who says, "Hello, Celestial Chris and Prompt Pete. My story is from a recent trip that me and my girlfriend took to Tokyo. One day, we visited Ameyokucho Market in Ueno, and we had the same whiskey highball that you and American Pete had in your Walking Across Tokyo in a Day video. Good stuff. I love that whiskey highball. After a couple of drinks, we noticed a drunk Japanese couple lingering around us. I accidentally made eye contact, and they immediately began chatting to us in a mixture of Japanese and passable English. We used our limited Japanese phrases before quickly turning to Google Translate for help, bringing us all some good laughs and raising the volume even higher. More and more drinks were arriving at our table, along with loads of food. And they were clearly enjoying summoning the waiters and selecting items off the menu for us to try, despite my initial concern over their inebriated state. Things were going pretty well, until I saw what they wanted us to try next. I didn't know what it was. It was grilled. It was white on the outside and worryingly deep pink in the middle. It sounds like Pete. As I gently prodded it with my chopstick, I realised it was very undercooked, almost completely raw chicken. How do we get out of this? I thought. Try it. It's very good, they exclaimed. Bet they did. But oh God, it's horrible. Before I could warn her, my girlfriend enthusiastically dove in and ate a piece. Just for a millisecond, I could see the confusion sweeping across her face, either the taste or the texture of the meat. I was able to employ the classic move of rubbing my stomach and going, oh yeah, too full, Des, to escape the same fate. Thankfully, they gave up quickly in favour of finishing their drinks, but I wanted to ask, just how common is eating raw chicken? Surely the risks are not worth the reward. Luckily, my girlfriend had no ill effects and actually claimed to enjoy it. Though we were both nervous for a couple of days. We're heading back in March, though raw chicken won't be on the menu this time. Loving the podcast. No. All the best, guys. Aaron, who did not eat the raw chicken. Mm. Disgusting. I hate raw chicken. When I did the cycle with Connor last year in Kyushu, we went to a yakiniku restaurant, and the menu was all in Japanese and was very odd kanji, but I could make out the word chicken. Mm. And I was like, oh yeah, chicken. Can't go wrong with that. We ordered that.
That'll do, yeah.
And they brought out like a fucking platter of raw chicken, like a mountain of raw chicken, and we just did not touch it. And I felt so bad. Like, you know, you feel guilty. As we had last week, the guy that ordered too much onigiri, he ordered 1,000 pieces of onigiri and he enlisted the help of the internet to try and eat them. I felt we should have done the same thing with that mountain of chicken sashimi. It's so bad, though. It's so slimy. It is no, like, quality. It's good in raw chicken.
Yeah,
I mean, you've never had it, right?
I've never had it, and there is something about, I don't know, to the Western palate, having raw chicken. We just don't have the the food safety standards that the Japanese clearly think they have, though I know a lot of people have fallen foul of the whole raw chicken thing. It's you just don't want brain worms. You just don't want brain worms. That's the last thing you need, to be honest. So, yeah, let's steer clear of that. I mean, what do you actually have with it? Is it just a bit of soy sauce, just a bit of, to make it less slimy? Vinegar? How would you kind of make it in any way? Because, I mean, I guess it's probably the same texture as salmon, but something about our brains go, nope.
it doesn't really taste like salmon or tuna or anything like that. They basically dip it in soy sauce and ginger sometimes, and it does nothing. If you have it without that, it's straight up just one of the worst things you can put in your mouth, because it has this slimy texture and then it's kind of chewy and just doesn't, something wrong.
But I remember when I was at university, I used to eat a lot of blood sausage, black pudding. But I used to eat it raw, like the French do.
Jesus.
And people found that quite offensive. It's already boiled. It's already, like, black pudding is already cooked when you get it in the main, if you get it from a nice place. But so that's worth doing.
Do you still
eat
it?
It's worth trying once in your life. You can eat it uncooked. It's not as nice uncooked, but if you're in a pinch, you need the black pudding fix. Just pop a cube in your mouth. Suck on it.
Oh god, I do like black pudding in like a fry up. It's really nice there, but raw.
Oh, you are in my mind inextricably linked, and inexplicably linked to the very best black pudding I've ever had when you did your London show a year ago. When you did your Christmas shows, pre-Christmas shows, I had some black pudding in.
I had your black pudding.
I had some delicious black pudding over the road for a breakfast over the road from the hotel we were staying in. And my God, Chris, it was the best black pudding I had tasted. It was transcendental. It was just the best black pudding I ever tasted. I don't know where they get it from. I don't know how they fry it. I don't know how they cook it. But there is a restaurant just over the road from where we stayed in that hotel that did the best black pudding, and I want to go back there.
And you didn't invite me. You didn't think, oh, I should invite Chris to come along
for
breakfast.
The only person
that morning
I saw was team leader Ian, who was going for a run, and I was going for black pudding, and I felt bad about myself, so I didn't tell anyone.
Jesus. But yeah, no, raw chicken, horrible stuff. Just don't eat that. You can't. There's no redeeming quality. One of those things. I don't mind basashi, raw horse. I can do that.
Yeah.
Another one that's a bit sketchy is raw eggs. I eat that willingly with like rice and things, but you know, you have to have something with it. Mm. It's pretty flavourless, but it's nice with beef. You kind of like, I think that's a daunting thing for folks coming here when you have like sukiyaki beef hot pot, right? You get the raw egg in a bowl and you have to sort of whip it up and then you dip the beef into it and whatnot. And I could see that for the first few times being a bit like, this is a bit wrong. Can I get sick with this raw egg? But it's good. And that's the one thing I'd say that might take a bit to get your head wrapped around, but it is good. Same with nankotsu, chicken cartilage. When you go to a yakitori restaurant, you know, chicken cartilage sounds daunting, but when it's battered and put with a bit of ketchup, it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. We're talking about food, and actually our news story this week revolves around food. Tokyo's three Michelin star ramen restaurants all lost their stars in 2024. Pete, what the hell happened? What's going on?
What the hell happened? They just lost their stars when the prestigious Michelin Guide unveiled its 2024 Tokyo edition in December last year. The beloved city was awarded 23 fewer stars than the previous year. All three of Tokyo's Michelin starred ramen restaurants lost their one star status in the new guide. This means there is currently no Michelin-starred ramen in Tokyo, or the world, for that matter. Up to 2023, only three ramen specialists have been awarded one. Nakiryu, for its beloved Dan Dan Men. Kunjiki Hotogisu. For its excellent
really
pork
word,
and clam broth noodles, and let's really barrel into this last one. And Ginja Hachigo for its sublime consommelite ramen broth. In the 2024 Michelin Guide, all three ramen restaurants no longer hold a star. So, you've just, I mean, the food's delicious. let's take nothing away from it apart from Michelin star. And yeah, you can't get Michelin star ramen in Tokyo or anywhere, because there is no ramen that befits the Michelin star, which is astonishing. It's all up for grabs.
Actually, I went on a bit of a rant on Twitter a few weeks ago, because I went to a three Michelin star restaurant. It wasn't a ramen shop. It was a meeting I had, and the person wanted to go there, and it was rubbish. it was shit. I've eaten at quite a lot of Michelin star restaurants over the years, and I say Michelin, but it's probably Michelin, right? And of the many I've eaten at, I think, you know, maybe 20%. Or less have I gone, okay, that was pretty good. That was value, right? For the most part, it's literally, oh, we'll just take a fucking, you know, take some mushrooms. What's the really swanky mushroom? What's the nice
shiitake?
No. Oh God, what's the really expensive one? I ranted about it.
Mario? I don't know.
No, truffle. Fucking truffles.
Truffle.
I think it's mushroom,
oh, right. Sorry, not a mushroom then. Fine. Okay, good.
Yeah, all right.
Fine.
Clever clog.
A fungus.
I mean, yeah, you basically, they take a food, a bit of celery, and they rub a truffle on it, and it's like, and there we go. Three Michelin stars and thrice the price. And I just, I came out of that three Michelin star restaurant, and I was just like, I don't remember a single dish I ate. I don't see how anything that was done was sort of unique. Or, you know, high. It was just truffles. It was just truffles and everything.
Truffles everywhere.
It's rubbish. And I got really angry because the price tag was formidable for what it was. Mm. And it kind of...
Tax deductible, though. Sounds like it was a business meeting.
I mean, yeah. I don't think I paid for it either, so that was good. But anyway, it left a sour taste in my mouth. Not the truffles. And
no.
It's sad, though. Like, there's the Michelin-style restaurant, the Ginza Hachigo. I saw a video on this place recently. And it does look very good. He cooks the pork so well. And there's some good YouTube videos on it. And I do want to go, and I looked into it. But you've got to, like, you can reserve seats, or you can get there at 7 a.m. and wait for, like, 6 hours. And I can't wait 6 minutes for my food, let alone 6 bloody hours in the middle of Ginza in a street. So you can reserve, I think, every week on Sunday at midnight. They open it up so you can reserve your seats, right? And it gets sold out instantly. And even then, once you reserved it, you still have to turn up really early and wait for a few hours, I think. So it's just like, how much do I want my Michelin star ramen? Am I willing to wait, you know, 3 to 4 hours to eat some noodles? Is it going to be that good? I don't know if I can justify it. And you're not allowed to take photos or film it, so I can't really film it and make a tax-deductible trip.
Did it really happen? Yeah, if you don't film it, did it really happen?
Exactly, right? But I always talk about how I met Elon Musk and Prince Andrew. Nobody cares because it's not a photo. So you've got to make sure if you meet a celebrity, always get a photo. Otherwise, it literally didn't happen.
You don't want that Prince Andrew.
Probably
you
not.
Want that photo.
No.
You don't want that coming back to bite your mouth. Yeah, get a photo with Prince Andrew. That's what everybody wants. That's what every kid wants under the fucking tree. Good God.
Oh, God. Oh, man. But, like, I don't know. So why did they get rid of the Michelin stars? Is there any indication as to why? Was the French guy in a bad mood that week?
I don't know. I mean, why would you get... Yeah, it just seems like... Does familiarity breed contempt when it comes to the Michelin system? Does it... I mean, I imagine, like, novelty plays into it as well. I don't really know what the kind of... How you kind of go, ooh, the very daughter, you lost your Michelin star. And, like, do they have to... Do they... Is there a Michelin star? Do they take the star out of the window? Do they sort of... or do they just release their guide and the chef opens it up one day and goes, Oh, shit. We've lost that Michelin star.
I think that's literally what happens. Yeah. There's a good documentary
called... Fucking cowards.
There's a documentary called Boiling Point on, I think it's Gordon Ramsay in the 90s, getting one of his stars at his restaurant.
Yeah.
And he's, like, livid when he's not got his three Michelin stars. They literally wait. They get a book. He rings up his friend. He's like, open a book. Turn to page 65. What have we got? Oh, no stars. Fuck. And it's, like, you know, a big deal for a lot of people.
Right.
I don't know, you know, how these Japanese ramen shops would feel. I imagine they don't care so much because they're not actually sort of, their aim is not to make Michelin star ramen necessarily, right? It's not like a French restaurant that's like trying to tick all the boxes, right? With the serving and the preparation and the cutlery and the staff and all the factors that go into getting a Michelin star. I always felt the Michelin stars were kind of rigid and very French. and you've got to do the French playbook, you know, you've got to have a certain way of doing it. But some of the good Michelin star restaurants I've been to, there was one in Hong Kong I went to that just did dumplings that were very reasonably priced, you know, for like $10, having a top Michelin star dumpling. It was really good there. The dumplings were exceptional. And this Ginza ramen shop, the reason it's got a Michelin star is clearly a lot of thought goes into every stage of the process. Like, I know he, you know, developed these special noodles and he takes a lot of time with the broth and he, you know, braises the pork very slowly and cooks it with like a blowtorch, because blowtorches equals good. And then finally, of course, there's truffles. There's truffles in the ramen, Pete. And that seals the deal. That's how you get the stars.
You can always find them.
That's right. I should cook for Charlotte, like spaghetti bolognese, and just get a truffle. Just grate it. Michelin star now, isn't it? Michelin star dinner. But yeah, that's a shame though. But I'm still going to swing by this ramen shop. God damn it, I'm going to go and I'm going to eat this ramen. I'm going to try it. And at the very least, I'll make an Instagram reel, and that will make the trip tax deductible, because that's all I care. And prove that I ate there, because that's all that matters now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't film it, you don't take a photo. It simply did not happen. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
We got a message from Nick. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm going to be moving to Japan for 3 months. During my last visit to the country, I greatly missed the chain Chipotle and craved Mexican food in general. What are the dishes you miss from home when travelling in Japan? What would you guys suggest for a last meal before heading to Japan? Nick from LA. Ooh, that's probably not a bad shout, is it? Like getting just as much kind of like really... I didn't realise that... Chipotle had that good representation of the food, but
I know, right?
Just absolutely piling in on all those kind of like those forbidden south of the border sodas and delicious food. Delicious Mexican
hungry.
Food. Yeah, that I'd absolutely like proper put yourself into a food coma, which will help you sleep on the flight.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that's a good point. I personally miss Greg's sausage rolls and pasties and pastries. Like, pastries and, yeah, sausage rolls, just can't really get them here. You can get pretty much everything else now, I found. Mm. I found places that do fish and chips or Sunday roasts and all that British stuff. But sausage rolls are still like a no-go zone. It can't be done. And I think I should set up a restaurant, the sausagery, the sausage, I don't know, think up a better name than that. You're good at this. Think of a name for my sausage roll restaurant, Pete. Help me out.
We're on a roll.
On a roll. I like that, yeah. On a roll. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
On a roll. Better than the sausagery, which sounds borderline X-rated. Mm. Sausage rolls, though. Miss them big time. Yeah. Bring them over.
Yeah.
We've got a story this week, or a question rather, from James, who says, "Dear Cool Chris and Perverse Pete, in a recent podcast, you talked about the film All of Us Strangers. This film was based on the Japanese novel, and my microphone is collapsing around me."
Whoa.
Clay doesn't like that
film. You talked about some Japanese novels.
In a recent podcast, talking about All of Us Strangers, the film was based on the Japanese novel by famous Japanese novelist and screenwriter Taichi Yamada. This leads me to ask, what Japanese stories, whether folklore or literature, would you want to see realised as a film? Personally, I believe there is a lot of untapped potential in yokai-based horror or slasher films. Thank you, guys. James, I'm in a mood to... I've always wanted to write and direct my own film, but I'm thinking maybe I should start by taking somebody else's idea, like a good idea, and then giving them the money and buying the rights to it and then making it. Because that's probably better than something I can think up, and that could be a good way to do it. Although I might butcher their work.
Steal it. So, I'll just steal it from folklore, which is being suggested here. There is a character that I would love to see you direct a sort of horror film about.
Oh, God.
Momotaro.
A
little baby who came to Earth inside a giant peach, which is found floating down a river by an old woman who was washing clothes there. The woman and her husband discovered the child when they tried to open the peach to eat it. The child explained that he'd been sent by heaven to be their son, and the couple named him Momotaro, from Momo, meaning peach, and Taro, meaning the eldest son in the family. Years later, Momotaro left his parents for an island called Onigashima to destroy the marauding demons that dwelt there.
I was really impressed route, then.
Momotaro met and befriended a talking dog, Monkey and Fezzer, who agreed to help him in this quest. At the island, Momotaro and his animal friends penetrated the demon's fort and beat the demon's leader, as well as his army, into surrendering. Momotaro returned home with his new friends, and his family lived comfortably from then on. Baby Peach kills a lot of fucking demons and then comes back and is Baby Peach boy again.
We don't pay Pete enough. We don't pay Pete enough, do we? He's good. I was really impressed there when you started wheeling off Momotaro facts. I was like, wow, Pete knows his stuff. And it
Pete knows
slowly but surely
yeah.
became clear it was being
that
read off of a Wikipedia page.
Sorry. There's another one that I think would really adapt quite well. Bunbuku Chagama. Any idea about what that might mean?
What was it again?
Bunbuku Chagama roughly translates to happiness bubbling over like a teapot. The folklore story tells of a poor man who found a raccoon dog, a tanuki, caught in a trap. Feeling sorry for the animal, he set it free. That night, the tanuki came to the poor man's house to thank him for his kindness, and the tanuki transformed himself into a teapot. And basically told the poor man, to sell him for money. So the man sold the teapot, the tanuki teapot, to a monk who brought it home after scrubbing it harshly, set it over the fire to boil some water. Unable to stand the heat, the teapot sprouted legs, the tanuki teapot, and basically half transformed and ran away. And the tanuki returned to the poor man with another idea about the man setting up a circus and charging admission for people to see a dancing or, you know, a teapot doing tricks. It sounds like basically this tanuki is just more trouble than he's worth. He's coming up with these harebrained schemes, and this poor man is just, you know, embarrassing himself with his, trying to sell his teapot.
I would pay good money to hear you read out yokai stories with.
Yeah,
it's just brilliant.
Well, my favourite one was that one where, like, you know, like in a bathroom, the ceiling gets all wet. Isn't there one that like climbs to the window and licks all the condensation off the ceiling? Now that's a goddamn fucking folktale, isn't it? Hey,
God. It's pretty cool, though. Like, yeah, I need to... There's a really good book I saw recently on Yokai that I wanted to buy, and it tells you about what they do and what they are. Because there's so many, right? There's so many bizarre ones, and, like, I had never heard... What was it?
Bunbuku Chugama.
It just sounds like Chugai Mass. I'll remember
indeed.
It. Indeed. That's a good story. Where did you find all these stories? Where did you find this?
I think Googling something at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're never going to get... there's never a paper trail, Chris. I can't remember.
Beautiful stuff. Have you seen... while it's a bit out of my depth filming something like this, have you ever seen... have you been watching Shogun yet?
I've not, but it's heavily advertised on the old Amazon and stuff. I'm still trying
pretty
to get
good.
Through... Is it... what was the thing? Is it One Day? I'm bashing through One Day at the moment about two kids who... just living the life in London.
Nah, don't watch. Watch Shogun.
Kids.
Watch Shogun. Okay. It's really all good. Right. We'll talk about it in another podcast. I'm only two episodes in. But yeah, check it out. It's really good. I think people are excited. There seems to be a lot of relief, I think, because Shogun, the original Shogun, in hindsight, doesn't look so good now. Because it's the story of like a white guy just setting up in Japan
sort of
fixing Japan single-handedly, right? Which is what I've done now for 12 years. And but like, it's that, you know, white savior, Sugoi. And like, but this one is a bit more, is very mindful of that. And yeah, put the Japanese cast front and center. Really good. Check it out. We'll talk about it in another episode. We've got one last question here from Angela, who says, Ellie, Chris and Pete, last time I was in Japan was in 2018 for 2 weeks, and I'm planning to go back in the next year or two for a month. My question is, since the yen is so low right now, is cash still king, and should I seriously consider picking up some yen now while it's still low? I don't know how acceptable credit cards are, and the last time I travelled there, I brought just enough yen to cover my expenses. I'm sure I feel like many others out there who would love to take advantage of such an amazing exchange rate. All the best, guys. Angela from Los Angeles. And, I mean... I think the yen won't get better necessarily. Touch wood for travellers, but I don't see it sort of getting stronger anytime soon. But so, yeah, it's like a joke price right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it worth sort of, I think you know, I don't know finance, so I don't know whether, so I don't know whether it makes sense buying some now, or would you make as much kind of hay if you just kept the money in your bank account? I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't think the yen is going to... It might get a little bit stronger, it might go up or down, but I don't see any dramatic shifts on the way in terms of the currency. This could be like a sound clip in a year's time when the yen is the world's strongest currency and Japan is back to take over the world, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think...
Right.
Don't bother. This is my inclination. But yeah, make no mistake, now's a great time to visit Japan. If you are thinking of doing it, do it now. I know a lot of friends who have been sitting on the fence about whether to go to Japan, and now they've seen the yen and how much their money gets in Japan, they're like, well, hopping on the plane. And I've got to show lots of people around, and that's half my year now, just showing people around the Sensoji Temple in Asakusa and bloody Shibuya Crossing. We'll be back later in the week, guys. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or comment down below here on YouTube if you're watching. But for now, have a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do all over again with the great Pete Donaldson very soon. Bye for now.
Do not buy a teapot from a monk.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.